With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's get ready to rumble!
He's the fastest man on the planet. He'd have got there, rabbits.
Beers, beers, and more beers. I can't wait. I cannot wait.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the sucker. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game.
Yes, yes. Joined by the better half, Joe, from the Park Footy Pod once again. As I said to you guys yesterday, we're going to do something a little bit different on a Monday. More so a weekend review, a little bit longer detail than what we put out on a Sunday. But we're going to title this one basically what we should have learned from the round just gone by. Joe and I both have five topics to talk about, but we'll kick off with the injuries. And there was a long list of injuries this week, wasn't there, Joe?
Oh, mate, a huge list of injuries and so many guns in that list as well. There's going to be a lot of changes from many super coaches out there this week.
Just off the top of my head, mate, Brett Morris unfortunately looks to play his last game of rep footy. One of the all-time great wingers, in my opinion, the greatest winger we've ever seen. It's a tragedy for him. Lindsay Collins, another injury for him, setback. Jackson Paulo with a fractured scaffold with 6 to 8 weeks out. Corey Thompson, 6 to 8 weeks out. Zach Lomax, 4 to 6. Adam Reynolds, 4 to 6. Campbell Graham, 4 to 6. It just piles up. Then we've got more for Cody Ramsey, Blake Green, Nathan Brown, Kurt Capewell as well. So there's just an absolute plethora of injuries this week. And a lot of those names are pretty super coach relevant. Kurt Capewell, 1. Zach Lomax for the poor people like myself. Cam Murray was looking the goods as well. Corey Thompson, a lot of people would have brought him in this week too. So plenty of injuries to navigate. But I thought we'd touch on the things we learned from the round 8 just gone by. And the first thing for me, mate, Sam Walker has to be a long-term keeper, doesn't he? And if you don't have him, you're definitely not worried about the cash at this point, are you? You pull the team apart to get Sam Walker in for that long haul.
Oh, definitely. And that's it. Like, he's still got a lot of cash to make there. You look at the way he plays, he's definitely the point of attack at the moment. Once Teddy comes back in as well, those try assists will continue. I don't think he's going to see 5 a game or anything like that, but he's still going to continue to get you at least 2 a game, I'd say. But Sammy Walker, I'm so glad I jumped on him early and made as much cash as I did, but I think he's almost a lock for the rest of your season.
5 try assists, mate, for an 18-year-old. Absolutely scintillating stuff. Yeah, I jumped on early as well. It was the week that Cleary had that HIA concern and was ruled out last minute. And I needed a half because I had Ash Taylor as well. And sure as shit, he went down injured. And I picked up Sam Walker a week early. I think he scored 80-odd, then 80-odd the week after. And then he came back down to earth again against the Storm in that tough game. But since then, mate, going strength to strength. And like I said, it's very frightening that he's only 18 years old and dominating the NRL so much. What is one thing that I guess you took away from the round just gone by?
For me, mate, one of the things that I'm definitely going to be looking into is Benji, if he's worth a look or not. Obviously, the Rabbitohs, we just went through that injury list there. The Rabbitohs were decimated this week. We obviously know Latrell's already out, but we see Cam Murray going out. Adam Reynolds is going to be out for at least 4 weeks there as well. So there's just going to be a ton of points there to be picked up by somebody else. I think Cody Walker's worth a look as well, but Benji is definitely the one that I'm going to be looking at over the next couple of weeks.
As someone like myself that owns Dane Gagai, it's always a tough watch for him week in, week out. And it seems like the base is going down and down, and we're relying more and more on that attacking stats. But with Campbell Graham down, Jackson Paulo out, Adam Reynolds out, the right side of the field is decimated. So not a bad time to hold on to Alex Johnson, Cody Walker, Latrell when he comes back, Dane Gagai. That left side should be humming, don't you reckon?
Oh, absolutely. And that's it. I think now that Cody Walker is going to be, not that he's not the main point of attack in that team anyways, but the fact is when you lose somebody like a Latrell and an Adam Reynolds, everything's going to fall on Cody Walker. So I think Cody Walker owners are going to be sitting there rubbing their hands over the next couple of weeks.
Now, we talk about injuries being the killer of Supercoach teams, but sometimes coaches can be just as crucial. And we saw this week, Ricky Stewart. Is it fair to say that he's lost the plot with the new Supercoach killer tag?
Oh, mate, if you ask some of his players' wives, they'll tell you that he's lost the plot. I'm not sure if you saw some of those social media outbursts over the weekend, but something's got to give there at the Raiders. It's clear that there's a few unhappy campers in that side.
No, there's obviously a lot going on behind closed doors and just playing starters and quality forwards for very limited minutes. And I guess the first one that comes to mind is Ryan James, as someone that played him myself. And he got the start. We had George Williams ruled out, so Elliot Whitehead moved into the halves. Hudson Young to the back row. There was another position on the bench there opened up. You'd think that Ricky would share the minutes around a bit more than he did, but it looked like Ryan James played about 25 minutes to start the game and came on for a very limited stint at the back end of the first half. Soliola played very little minutes. Havili, Joe Tarpany, obviously his wife, was very, very outspoken about his usage on the weekend. Do you think Ricky Stewart, his aura of the game is clouding his true coaching ability, or do you think we're overreacting? But it's just hard to look at his coaching career and not look at all the clouds that he's left over clubs that have left. Do you think we give Ricky a little bit too much credit?
Ricky's the epitome of somebody who he gets absolutely destroyed in the media if things are going bad, but then prays to, you know, to the absolute heavens if Raiders are going out there and killing it. And it seems to be the same sort of story here with the Raiders. I think losing Nickel Klokstad was a massive thing for the Raiders, and bringing in Caleb Aiken, I think, yeah, mate, we spoke on Caleb Aiken as well. I think they've lost a lot of attack there. The forwards shuffling around, that's a reason why I didn't bring Ryan James into my side this year. It was just there's nothing to tell you that those forwards aren't going to swap every week, and that's what we've seen week in, week out. I think Harry Weir and Nara coming back into the side spells bad things for Ryan James as well, but, you mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens this week. Ryan James has, 21 minutes last week. They get absolutely flattened. Does he come out and he gets more minutes this week? Does he see the same? You're just not sure. And, yeah, Ricky's definitely on the hot seat there.
I think the thing with the Raiders is they're just dropping. Like, they're competing that first half. Like, the last couple of weeks, they've been the better side in the first half and then dropping off the face of the earth in the second. And Ricky just looks like he's running his forwards into the ground. So maybe we see some more rotation. Maybe not. Who knows? But I had a message from a follower saying that I should lay off Ricky Stewart because he deserves so much more respect. But I think that's a crock of crap. I don't really care about what you've done in the game. I think it's all about what you do now. And hiding behind a reputation, I think, is only a recipe for disaster for Ricky and the Raiders. And I think they're really struggling this year. Tom Starling looks to be the hooker of the future there. So what happens with George Hodgson? But that's why we're not head coaches, mate. That's why we're not paid the big bucks. But yeah, we'll kick on with the next talking point. What else did you take away from the round gone by?
Next one for me, mate. I went to this game, but Corey Thompson getting that big injury, looking for, at 6 to 8 weeks. Obviously, a player that I brought into my side, and I know that I'm not alone on that one. I know a lot of players did bring in Corey Thompson last week. He was at about 600K. He goes out there, gives you 23, and drops about 30K over the weekend. So, yeah, just really, really tough for Corey Thompson owners. And where to? I mean, that's two burnt trades now just for that one player and to lose a bit of cash. Sure, it frees up a lot of cash, and you'll probably be able to bring in another gun, but very, very disappointing.
Mate, I wasn't the only one that brought in a centre wing this week and that got injured, and I was pretty vocal about that. But one man that we probably could look to bring in, the Cardi Party, is he officially back with his injury to Nathan Brown?
Oh, mate, the Cardi Party. What do you say? Like, I mean, to be fair, he has versus the Broncos and the Bulldogs in the last 2 weeks, and I reckon you and I could probably go out there and do some of the stuff Brycey did against those two sides. But, mate, he just looks comfortable again. He looks how he did in the under-20s, how he did in that first season with Penrith. He's not pressing things. Like, he's not going out there and trying to make things happen. He's just letting it come to him, and that's when you see the best Bryce Cartwright. When things come to him and he just uses his ability and he does eyes-up football, just brilliant. And obviously Nathan Brown out for 1 to 3 weeks. We know Maddo came back last week and came off the bench, so it's going to be interesting to see that forward rotation. We know your man Papali is definitely not going to be taken out of that side. Just continues to kill it.
Oh, mate, he continues to kill it, and he continues to kill me. Every week I say, let's just hold off, let's just hold off, let's just hold off. But each week he keeps producing and keeps getting huge scores. And his price now is 750K. And I think at the start of the season, he was 409. So, yeah, look, unfortunately for me, I'm just not going to be able to spend the cash on him. Probably looking at someone like a Tohu Harris. But Papali'i, he's going to play Origin. Or he's going to play through Origin. He's going to be a focal part of that Parramatta attack. And he continues to kill it. But, yeah, Bryce Cartwright, mate, it's just fantastic to see him back playing good footy. Bit of a laughing stock for the last 5 years or so, but I think it's becoming a feel-good story. And I think any neutral footy fan does want to see Cardi play his best footy, and that's exactly what Parramatta are getting out of him. They paid very little for him. The risk was very, very low, and they seem to be reaping the rewards in the first couple of weeks.
And speaking of Parramatta, the next touching point I want to touch on is Gutherson. Obviously, Gutho's gone out there and just killed it the last couple of weeks. Again, not against the toughest competition, but the fact is he's not going to be playing Origin this year, I don't think. We've seen Joey Johns come out and say that the New South Wales made a mistake last year by putting Gutho in the centres. It's nothing against Gutho. It was just the hand he was given, he was put in that position. But for Supercoach owners, Gutherson, if he's going to be playing over that Origin period and he's putting up the numbers he is at the moment, I'd say he's almost a must. Obviously, we have Latrell out. Teddy's not performing, but yeah, Gutho definitely worth a look in my opinion.
The only thing with Gutho that I'm worried about, and like, yeah, the draw the last couple of weeks has been fantastic. The Sharks, the Tigers, the Dragons, the Raiders, the Broncos, and the Bulldogs. After that, though, he goes the Roosters, the Warriors, Manly, South, Newcastle. Now, not the easiest run of games. After that, it does free up a little bit as well before the bye. But I guess that is what deterred me from picking up Gutho this week. He was someone I was looking at to pick up in the week gone by. But I just thought that draw coming up and the way Turbo has his draw set up, I much liked his. But yeah, look, I thought Gutho would have a quiet game. I thought the Bulldogs would be able to sort of control Parramatta a little bit. I didn't think they'd get the win, but I thought they'd put up a bit more of a fight than 32-10 suggested. But yeah, Gutho continues just to be one of the best effort players in the comp week in, week out. And if you pick him up for Supercoach, you're definitely reaping the rewards. Another one that is one of these risky picks that we reap the rewards of now, TPJ. Is he the best dual position forward in Supercoach going around now?
He's definitely going to be right up there. The only thing I worry about TPJ is he's got the Jack Hetherington effect. You never know if he's going to go out there and be in a very cranky mood and do something silly and get himself put on the sideline. But outside of that, mate, and the fact he hasn't looked like that this year, he's gone out there and while he's been aggressive, he's been very contained as well. Broncos seem to be on a bit of an up at the moment. Obviously, Tyson Gamble coming in last week, the Broncos looked very impressive there. And I think TPJ is going to see some more ball. But yeah, I'd definitely be looking at him to bring into my side for sure.
Yeah, one of the better buys I've had this year. Look, he averaged 70 last year. He's averaged over that this year. And the issue was always him staying on the field. But it looks like Kevin Walters has managed to nurture him and let him play with that aggression. But it's more controlled aggression. And I guess if we were ever going to see him blow up, it would have been this week against Fifita. But he did a great job of containing him. And yeah, the ability to play him in your 2RF or your front row forward, I think, is going to be gold moving forward. He does play the bye round. He's not going to be playing Origin. So definitely like TPJ moving forward.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
No, he's a very, very scary man. And yeah, he contained Fifita. That's the best way to put it. He contained him all night. I went to that game after, 20 minutes or so, 15 minutes. Gold Coast, I was sitting right next to the Gold Coast away supporter bay. And mate, they were going ballistic. And for the rest of the game, they were very, very quiet. And old Fifita had a bit of a shocker in that first half, didn't he?
Mate, I had 3 or 4 memes ready after about 20 minutes and quickly had to delete them. Otherwise, I would look like even more of a mug than what I did. What else did you take away from round 8, Joe?
Another one that I've been looking at and something I've been thinking about the last couple of weeks and just a few questions that I've received from a few of my mates is the downside to too many cash cows. We obviously know everyone's a sucker for a cash cow. You can bring somebody in that's, you know, in 180K, you know he's going to make you a ton of money, but there is a downside to having too many in your team, in my opinion. And I think we're getting to that point of the year where we're going to start seeing that with a few sides. Obviously, Condon this weekend only had 23, but if you have him, you have somebody like a Sammy Walker, a Schuster. Sammy Walker and Schuster, they're keepers and they're the kind of cash cows that you want. But when you are looking at somebody like a Condon, you know that he's only got a limited amount of time. And the fact is that's another trade you've got to burn. So I think you've got to be very careful with the players that you do bring in and the cash cows that you do bring in throughout the season, because you don't want to have too many and then be stuck with them.
Yeah. As much as it's nice to generate cash, if you look at your side, you've got Spencer Lenny, you've got Jake Simpkin, you've got Ryan James, Ben Condon, Jackson Tapine, Bailey Simonson, all on your bench, Jason Saab, another one, all these guys that haven't really sparked on. It's more trades that you have to burn, like especially if you're someone like myself who's been crippled with injury. It's just weeks and weeks and weeks that they pile into your team and makes it harder and harder to have the end goal of having 18, 19 blokes in your team. You could be stuck running these guys because you're too busy fixing up injuries. But look, I feel pretty good about Condon. I feel pretty vindicated. I've said that he is a pretty poor Supercoach player in weeks gone by and has been propped up by tries, and a lot of people were upset with his output on the weekend, but I think it was a long time coming. The bloke doesn't have a fantastic motor on him and did rely on those tries. I guess one person that isn't on our list of talking about here, but I'll quickly throw it to you, Josh Curran. Now, had some attacking stats on the weekend, but still pumped out 50 or so in base. Do you think it's too late to pick him up, or are you worried about the presence of Eli Katoa and guys like Ben Murdoch-Masilla and Sirenen, or do you think that Curran's going to hold the spot and he's still worth picking up rather than that in that cheapy price bracket?
See, Curran's one, again, this is half the reason why I even brought this up as a point is because I've had a few people message me about Curran over the last couple of weeks. And whilst he is doing, he has a good base there. He's made a bit of money. Again, if you have brought in a lot of these cheapies already and you're looking to bring in another one, again, it's a bit of a risk. Warriors have got so many good forwards there. You've got some players that are going to come back. I can't imagine somebody like a Bailey Sirenin is going to be riding the bench like he has been majority of this season. So for me, I just worry about his job security there. I imagine if the Warriors have a few losses in a row, he's one of those players that they'll look at to either drop back to the bench or take him out completely. So for me, I'd probably miss him. I think you've probably missed the window to make as much cash as you could. He probably still does have a bit of cash in him, but yeah, for me, I'd probably give him a miss, to be honest. How about you?
Yeah, if you picked him up and played him, I think it's been a great purchase, but I think you're falling into the category now. If you're paying over 300, 350 for him, it's just a question of if he's going to hold that spot. There's talks that they like him, but like you said, Sirenin on the bench, Eli Katoa in reserve grade, don't know how long these guys are going to hang around there for. And if a couple of losses pile up, we know Nathan Brown can definitely get the chop. As for hookers, mate, a pretty crucial position this year. We've got Jaden Bowie locked down, one of these cash cows that's turned into a keeper. But we've also got the presence of Jake Simpkin and guys like that. People might be still holding Jacob Little. So it's a case of what to do with the other position. Damien Cook hasn't fired. Appy Korosau is as influential for the Panthers as he is. He doesn't have the friendliest Supercoach game week in, week out. Can be a bit hit and miss. But after four games, mate, Harry Grant, definitely not hit and miss. And he's the spark in this Storm attack and really getting them on the front foot. And finally started on the weekend and absolutely tore the opposition apart. So for me, he's a must-have going forward, but it's just a case of when to get him. Would you be bringing Harry Grant in before Origin ends? As good as he is, do you think we can just hold that spot with someone like a Simpkin over the Origin period, or do you want to say stuff that and get Grant in now?
It completely depends on who your other hooker is. Like for me, I've got Reid Marnie, and I know that if Harry Grant's going to be playing Origin, Reid's going to be playing week in, week out. So for me, I'm looking at Harry Grant definitely. He was someone I looked at the start of the season. Obviously, there was a bit of confusion about him and Brendan Smith and what the minutes were going to be doing there. But since he's come back, he's been eased back in there. Even off the bench, he's been absolutely killing it. And the fact is, like you said, all the other guns, like your Appy Korosau, your Damien Cook, there's just too many inconsistencies in their game. And for Appy Korosau, for example, Ivan Cleary is not afraid to put Tyron May on there and give Appy a bit of a rest. And I look at Harry Grant and he's one of those surefire players. I think if you've still got somebody like a Jaden Brayley, whilst he's still probably going to make you a bit of cash and he's a very solid option, it's a pretty easy upgrade from him to Harry Grant. And I think it's a massive one. So if you do have a spare trade and you are looking to upgrade your hooker position, I think a Brayley to a Harry Grant makes all the sense in the world.
I'd definitely be waiting on the Brayley trade personally because he is going to play round 13 and he is putting out 60s week in, week out. So you'll take that. But I think the worst thing for super coaches is the fact that Grant was eased back in and we thought, sweet, he's going to get a couple of 30s and going to drop in price. But there was no easing back for his workload. He went straight in, played reduced minutes, but that seemed to have only spurred him on. As for someone like a Brayley, man, he's averaging 72 this year. So I think we can wait on him for the trade until after Origin. I think Brayley / Marnie and Grant will probably be the combo to run home. You just have to pick out of the first two as to who you want to run. You're paying a premium fee for Reid Marnie if you don't have him now. One more thing that I'll throw you under the bus quickly for. Jason Tamalolo, is his super coach relevance done?
Look, I'm not big on Jason Tamalolo. It's clear that there's a rift between him and Toddy Payton. Obviously, the game's changed a lot and it's really moved away from having your sort of front row forward in that lock position to somebody who's a bit more skilled, a little bit more agile. Like you're seeing halves even be put into the lock position these days. So while I still think Tamalolo is a fantastic player, I think he's incredibly influential for his side. I just look at his super coach relevance. And like you said, the mix between Todd Payton, like the relationship with Todd Payton, the inconsistencies in his game, I just wouldn't bring him in. I think there's too many good second rollers that you can choose from as well. And you might find that Tamalolo's price is just going to keep dropping. If he gets to a certain point where you look at his price and you've never seen it at that price, maybe he's worth a look. But at the moment, I'd be steering clear.
If the way he's playing, he's going to get down to 380, 390. But I wouldn't be picking him up at that price if his output isn't going to continue to go up. It's just, I'm not following the change. If the wheel isn't broke, don't fix it. And Tamalolo, as much as he wasn't getting wins for his club, I don't think that was down to him. I think that was down to the players around him. But as you said, mate, like Ryan Madison's another one. If he's going to ride the bench, we could look at picking him up later in the season when he gets a start. But it's interesting to see how coaches are managing these players week in, week out. But as you touched on, mate, there's plenty of other second row options. TPJ, Tohu Harris, Angus Crichton, who had a bounce back week this week. Mitch Barnett continues to put out 60s or so and without the goal kicking. So, yeah, there's plenty of other options. I think you've got one more talking point to talk about this week, mate.
Yeah, one more for you here. Obviously, we were talking about the Rabbitohs and their injuries just before, but how about the Roosters? Mate, absolutely destroyed on the weekend there with the injuries. Went out there, I think they scored a try when they had 11 players on the field against Newcastle. Newcastle didn't score against them. And it goes to show what the club is and what they bring. And every player knows their role. But with so many injuries, obviously, Brett Morris out, Lindsay Collins, two massive injuries. I'm sure there's a lot of Supercoach owners out there that had those two players as well. We're going to see somebody like a Joseph Suaalii come in. And what does it mean for the Roosters? And what does it mean for these young players coming through? And who do you think out of those young players is worth a look?
I think from everything I've heard, I don't think Suaalii gets a start anytime soon. I think you've still got Matt Ikavalu there. You can shift someone else out. Like, you put Mac Iqbal on the wing, so not too sure if Suaalii is a viable option. Like, everything I've heard from Trent Robertson, he's happy to keep him in reserve grade and keep developing him, so he's much more of a raw talent than a Sam Walker. But Adam Kieran comes back as well in coming weeks. That's going to help the rotation. Ben Marshy just hasn't really been good enough. Sam Verrills are still being eased back in. Victor Radley is obviously still being eased back in. Toki Aho had the rib injury and is being eased back into a workload. So there is big, big issues at the Roosters, but if there's one coach to bring the best out of them, it's Trent Robertson. Mate, I very much thank you for coming on once again. We'll do this every Monday, every Wednesday. You'll come back on and we'll discuss the week ahead and the fallout from team issues and all these injuries. But, mate, give the page a plug. I know that everything's back up and running now.
Yeah, so we're back at the at Park Footy Pod on Instagram. Ethan and I are going to try to get a few podcasts out here and there. If you and I are going to be doing two a week, I'd say I'll probably only do one on there a week. Just talking everything footy rather than Supercoach related, just a bit more hands-on about the game, some of the rules that we're looking at, bits and pieces. So if you want to check that out, jump over to the Instagram page and check us out on Spotify and iTunes as well under the same name.
And just before we go, mate, we can't escape the red arrows in the rankings this week. You're doing much better than me, but I know that you've fallen just outside the top 1K.
Yeah, finally fallen outside of the top 1K. I think I was at about 380 at my top, which was only about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And it's been a very, very steady decline since then. I'm at 1,139, going down 255 ranks this week.
Mate, if I took out the last number of my rank, I'd just be outside the top 1K too. But unfortunately for me, as I've touched on plenty of times, and it's going to be my calling card, injuries every week have absolutely ruined me. I only scored a 1,178 this week and saw a red arrow down outside the top 10K for the first time in, I would say, 4 or 5 years. I've been outside the top 10K. So Murphy's Law dictates the minute that I start a page is when everything goes wrong. I remember making calls like captaining Bronson Jerry 2 years ago when he scored 140. I captained Tyson Frizzell when he scored 160 odd last year. So it just seems like everything I'm touching this year turns to dust, and we'll discuss our trades on Wednesday. But I think the biggest advice is for everyone to stay away from whoever I'm ringing in this week, because it just seems to be the injury crisis for the eyes and who's. But we'll long live and prosper. We'll move forward. Thank you very much, Joe, for coming on. And yeah, keep your friends close and keep your pods closer.
That's all, folks.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.